Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD, to our continuing 2021-22 preseason coverage. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined for this podcast with David Griggs over here, Rocco yes. Miller for Bracketeer.org.
Why did you put me over here? I want to be over there.
I'm not certain how to do that.
I don't like it over here.
Okay, well, nobody cares. This is our Big Ten preview podcast. We're going to be looking and talking everything about the upcoming season in the Big Ten. In fact, you will not have to watch the Big Ten season this year because we're going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. We are recording this on the evening of Wednesday, October 20th. It may not get posted for another day or two. So if any news happens between now and when we post this, just giving you all a heads up. We didn't know about it. We are not exactly... fortunate.
There's no game scheduled between now and a couple of days, Chad.
Well, something could happen at practice. Who knows? Ben Simmons could decide to pack up and not practice and sell his house. And I'm in the wrong. Yeah. I'm in the NBA. Sorry. but we are talking Big Ten, the conference that put a league record 9 teams in the NCAA tournament last year. Conference that took 2 of the number 1 and 2 of the number 2 seeds in last year's NCAA tournament. So had a pretty darn good year despite not putting any teams in the Final Four. But you have a comment on that, David?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they were the number 1 rated conference in KenPom last year. Rocco, I want to start off with you in this conference. I don't know if there's a consensus, but there's 2 teams that I think everyone's picking either 1 or 2. And one of those 2 teams is Michigan, who waited the furthest in the NCAA last year, made it to the Elite Eight.
It was a disappointing NCAA tournament for all the Big Ten teams that got there and as a whole, but Michigan was the one bright spot. And then they fell victim to the red hot UCLA team that came from the first 4. That was a heck of a game too. I mean, everybody thinks about the Gonzaga game more, but that was another tremendous game. Michigan returns Hunter Dickinson. I think that's the big news of the offseason. There was a really good opportunity for him to get drafted, and he decided to come back. And, I mean, he just is a matchup nightmare, coming back for his sophomore campaign. He'll be one of the best bigs in the country. You know, there's another really good big coming back in this league, too. That'll be fun to see them clash. We only got to see it once last year. And Eli Brooks is back, Brandon Johns. Terrence Williams. They bring in Devontae Jones, one of the hottest names out of the transfer portal, one of the best players in the Sun Belt last year. So yeah, they're totally loaded. Great recruiting class on top of all of that to add in some depth. I do think sky's the limit. You know, all we know so far of Juwan Howard as a coach is the last 2 years he's been basically in the top 5 both years, almost throughout the entire season, both seasons. So it's really hard to predict them anywhere else, but like at least a top 10 team. So I think sky's the limit and would not argue with anybody that has them as a 1 seed to start the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point, Rocco. When they hired Juwan Howard, I was a little surprised. I mean, he was a big name. He has connections to Michigan, but he had no real head coaching experience. And I may have said a thing or two or 10 or 30 or maybe even more things about how I just thought it would crash and burn. He has not. He has done a very, very, very good job. He's had them, as you said, ranked in the top 10 basically his whole tenure there. And he is, in addition to being an excellent recruiter, he's an excellent bench coach. I got to give the guy props.
Yeah, and Tytel, we don't want to overlook the newcomers here. Caleb Houston and Diabete, I don't know how you pronounce it, on 2 of the top recruits of the nation, are they not?
It's amazing. I never know how former NBA guys are going to do as recruiting gurus. And we've seen early this year, Penny Hardaway has been able to bring in a great class in Dern and Bates. And Patrick Ewing has now the Big East preseason player of the year, freshman of the year, in Aminu Muhammad. So these guys can get the big name recruits. And that's exactly what Juwan Howard's done. It doesn't help that he has a kid named Jet who's going to be a big recruit next year. But, they have arguably the best recruiting class in the country, which is why they can afford to deal with losing a couple players and just restocking and reloading from year to year.
So do you think this is a Final Four caliber team this year?
Of course they are. I'd almost pick them to make it this year just because they are so good. I just – I can't – until I see how the freshmen do. But on paper, they're good enough to do it.
On paper, they're good enough to do it. Well, let me stick with you. Is there another team in the Big Ten that's also Final Four caliber, in your opinion?
There's a few. I will go with the Boilers in terms of where they were to where they are. So we're talking about a team that was 18-10 last year. Doesn't sound good, but let's dive into the numbers. Only home loss all year was to those Michigan Wolverines. So you were worried, oh, they're a bit of a home court hero, right? Well, you look at the four losses they had away from home since early January. 1 point at Maryland, 3 points at Minnesota, Big Ten tourney in overtime to the Buckeyes, and an NCAA tourney in overtime to North Texas, which obviously is a big upset. The point is they're literally like a few baskets away from going undefeated since last January. They bring back basically the whole roster, unlike Michigan and a lot of other schools that lost some big talent. We're talking an All-American in Trevion Williams, one of the biggest centers in the nation in 7'4", Zach Edey, who's got another year under his belt, almost made the Canadian Olympic team and almost helped them make the Olympics. Close, no cigar. And then a sophomore guard in Jaden Ivey, who all he did was win a gold medal last summer with Team USA at the FIBA U19 World Cup. The NCAA tourney and Big Ten tourney were in Indianapolis last March. This March, they're back in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tourney. So I think the path is there for Purdue to get a very high seed this year.
I believe there's Indianapolis is one of the sites for the first two rounds as well. So they could be playing for that. But David, go ahead.
To build on what he just said, even though they had those, they were a protected seed. And as Tytel outlined, they were very close to being way higher than that. Like, if those three games go their way, they were about 10 points from being on the two line, perhaps. And yes, while they lost early in the NCAA tournament, and I think sometimes what a team does in the tournament, people get a little too hung up on that when forecasting the following year. This was a Purdue team that was a four seed that could have been a two seed, you know, had 10 more points gone their way, and they return everybody and they add some good pieces. Holy crap, is this team good?
Well, I think they have the potential to be good.
Yeah.
let's wait till it plays out, obviously. But Rocco, beyond Michigan and Purdue, I'm also seeing a little love of the media for a third team to maybe challenge the top spot. I don't think I'm with it, but how about the Illini?
Good question. Yeah, I feel the same way, Chad, I think, as you in a lot of ways there. I would put Michigan and Purdue a clear cut above, but Illinois bringing back Kofi Coburn, huge, huge news for them. 7-footer, just a beast inside, had an incredible year. I think the last taste we had in our mouth was him getting outshined by Krutt in the upset loss to Loyola Chicago. But, I mean, he's a special talent. And then, you know, everything we're hearing and reading and what we saw last year, and not the alpha role, but he's going to assume the alpha role, is what we're hearing, is Andre Curbelo, a potential All-American. Again, he's got to take that leap that a lot of people think he's capable of. I do like Alfonso Plummer coming in from Utah, a guy that I'm very familiar with, a really deadly perimeter shooter. You cannot leave him open. He's capable of going off for 30 if you leave him open. Omar Payne was a quality role player at Florida. I think that's a nice addition as well. And plus, you know, three more redshirt seniors to mix in, led by Trent Frazier. So the roster is pretty strong. Here's the thing that worries me about Illinois. Their two best assistant coaches bolted for Kentucky. And obviously, Kentucky could probably pay them more. There's all sorts of reasons to go to Kentucky. But if Illinois was a one seed last year and Underwood's got all this talent, you know, it's a weird time, in my opinion, for them to bolt. Maybe there's something more going on behind the scenes. I just want to hedge this. I don't want to put them at the very top right now. So I'm going to put them a little lower. I think I've got them 12th right now overall in the nation and a safe third place in this league.
Yeah, but John, they do have to make up for 20 points and 5.3 assists per game from DeSumo, who is gone now. So there is a hole that's got to be made up for there, unlike some of the other teams we've discussed already.
I would argue there's a couple holes. I believe Adam Miller left for LSU. Sadly, right. They just announced today he had a horrible injury. He's probably done for the year. Trent right. Frazier started all 31 games, gone. If I'm opposing Illinois this year, I'm hoping Andre Curbelo is not an All-American, and I'm triple-teaming Kofi Coburn because he's the only guy who's going to take this team to those heights. And he's big enough and good enough to do it, but I'm not worried about Curbelo on any even close to Kofi.
Trent Frazier is gone?
I thought so. Don't correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe he should be good to go. He was named somebody's defensive player of the year in the league just recently.
I thought maybe I missed something there about an injury or something, but I understand it was a Trent Frazier had to sign.
I'm totally wrong, I guess.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay. All right. I thought you had news I didn't have, so I was going to defer to you on that. But David, maybe beyond these top three teams.
Is Illinois a protected seed caliber team this year? Yeah, just one word answers around the
board. I would say caliber, yes, but I think they got to still prove some things. Yeah.
Right. I would say, not to beat you up, John, on this, I think with Trent Frazier, I think they are.
Just Trent Frazier's a good player, Illinois, and he plays for Illinois.
Yeah.
best defender, yeah. That's
important, yeah. David, beyond these top three, who do you think the next best team is in the conference?
I think that you have a smattering of top 25 teams.
Right.
I like Ohio State. They were good last year, a two seed last year, and they have four starters good last back. Year. Another, I'm sorry,
they were pretty good last year. Yes,
yeah, and four starters are back, and again, early exit from the NCAA tournament. I think that when forecasting this year, people look at the one game against Oral Roberts that they lost and not the, you know, 30 or so that they played before that. But with four starters back from a team that was that had that high of a seed line, and I'm a huge fan of their head coach. I've liked Chris Holtmann since his days at Gardner-Webb. I just think that this is an Ohio State team that could once again earn a protected seed. I think they're being a little bit undervalued, to be honest.
Yeah, Rock. I mean, Lidell could challenge for player of the year in the conference, could he not?
Yeah, he's a monster. He was contending for All-American last year. He'll be in that mix, I'm assuming, this year. Cedric Russell is a guy who went into the portal a little bit later in the spring, and kind of all the big schools went after him. Holtmann was able to land him. We loved him at Louisiana. He was another awesome Sun Belt player coming to the Big Ten now. So add to that Ohio State-Michigan rivalry this year. We got two Sun Belt players going after each other. But, yeah, I think, you look across the rotation and you see at least six, possibly seven, combination of redshirt seniors and seniors. And, we'll talk about this to death across all the previews, but old wins in college basketball. And this team is old, and they mix in a star frosh in Malachi Branham. And so I love the mix, and I love Holtmann in general. There's no reason to doubt these guys, in my opinion.
I kind of like them even a little more than Illinois, to be honest.
I could see that happening. I definitely could see that happening, David. I think there's a chance for that. John.
Well, Maryland. in case Kyle Lamb is watching, screw Ohio State.
John, Mark Turgeon's squad there in Maryland, bringing in one of our favorite names and Fats Russell coming over from Rhode Island.
Yeah, Fats!
Yes, for those who don't know how he got the nickname, I believe it's because his mom, Terry, he was a chubby baby. And even though his name is Duran, they called him Fats because he was a little fat as a kid and it stuck. They lost some key contributors. They bring in Kudus Wahab, who I saw up close and personal at many Georgetown games 2 years ago. And he was and is sensational. And I think that he's going to immediately become the star of the team. They still bring back Eric Ayala and Dante Scott. But I think that Turgeon has a nice little cupboard. I think arguably the most assistant piece is his new assistant coach. Anybody remember who that is?
No,
I'm blanking on this one.
I should
Danny Manning.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nice, John.
He had some good years at Tulsa and at Wake, I think.
And he had some good years at Tulsa, and he coached at Wake.
Yeah,
he got to the playing game 1 year.
Okay. Yeah.
He was pretty good at Kansas also in a different role.
As a player.
David, Maryland team, is this one of those teams you're thinking of as a possible top 25 borderline team here?
Borderline, yeah. Okay. I don't know if they're going to stay in the top 25. They might start there just because I could see them beating up on a lot of the teams we haven't talked about yet, but I don't like them quite as much as anybody that we have talked about. So fringe top 25, probably in the top half of the bracket, meaning 8 seed or better, wearing white in the round of 64, but not on the level of Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Not even close.
Rocco, it seems I always go to you with these teams that I can't figure out in these podcasts we've done so far this season. And one of them that I have, what I just don't know what to make of them this year, although when you look at the head coach, maybe we should know that they're going to be good, is Michigan State.
Right, I kind of sneak previewed it for you before we started recording that this is a team I'm a little torn on. I think it really hinges a lot on Tyson Walker. You know, I love Tyson Walker last year at Northeastern. Well, you know, you and David and I, we follow the CIA closely.
But it was John, Northeastern. Let's
remember. It was Northeastern. So you're going from like the 19th best league to the top league. And does it translate? You obviously got a great coach there. Gabe Brown's back, Joey Hauser, some other vets, Bingham. But yeah, I mean, Michigan State's offense last year was like in the 90s in adjusted offensive efficiency, you know, squeezed into the tournament. I didn't think they were ever going to be out. I was actually a little surprised they had to do the first four. But again, for them to even be that close shows that, you know, things are in flux right now. Also, they were supposed to have Amani Bates. He ends up at Memphis. So that's it's another crushing blow to the Spartan program. In general, you know, we're all trained to give Vizzo the benefit of the doubt, but would I be shocked if they missed the tournament? No, I wouldn't.
John, a team that was in the tournament last year, actually one of the few teams actually picked up a win, at least from at least one win, not more than that. How about the Wisconsin Badgers this year, or a lot of turnover here, I think, for Greg Gard's squad?
I think that's the key that I loved last year's team. I think the stat was that they had an older roster than the Charlotte Hornets last year, which was hilarious. The Chicago Bulls, I think, maybe.
Awesome.
They still have Brad Davison back in what seems like his 10th year in Madison. Formerly Jonathan Davis, now Johnny Davis, according to the roster page. He had a good summer. I believe he also won a gold medal, and he had 10 points in their loss to Baylor in the second round last March. They bring in Chris Vogt, the big man from Cincinnati, who was a great shooter in the American and not much else. A manageable schedule too. Providence, Georgia Tech, Marquette don't scare me. The three games in the Maui Invitational do. We'll see who they get matched up with. But yeah, they just lost so many seniors last year that I think you're correct to bring them in at this point because they are a level below everybody else we spoke about.
But David, I guess when I go through a couple of teams that did make the NCAA tournament last year, another one was Iowa. Jordan Bohannon's still there.
He is. And it's and the school, I looked this up, it is still in Iowa. And that's really about all that's the same.
Okay. So your thoughts on their team heading into the season then?
I'm not ready to put them in the tournament. I just think that they're sort of in a reset mode a little bit. I kind of have more questions than answers about them. They did get there last year, and they're on a string of where they've had, you know, 3-20 win seasons in a row, and we're used to seeing them not just end, but sort of safely end. I could see this year being a little bit of a rebuilding year. But Fran McCaffrey has done it before, where they start off unranked or with a little or with not much fanfare, but they kind of get out of the gate, and then by the time we get to conference play, they're rolling.
Yeah, but by the end of the season, I think we see Bohannon with school, and he already has a bunch of school records. I believe some conference records falling to Bohannon, especially on the 3-point line. But
yeah,
I gotta go to my school next. I think we go Rutgers. They're the only school that was in the tournament last year that we have not yet discussed. Steve Pikel's crew here, unfortunately, Jacob Young gone transferred, Miles Johnson transferred, Montez Mathis transferred, Rocco. Geo Baker there, Ron Harper there. Maybe Omruri takes a step up and becomes the guy down low that we need. But I don't know that I'm feeling a return to the NCAA tournament, but maybe I'm a little biased.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking the cautious approach, which is probably safe for your heart and emotionally. But I think Rutgers as a whole, you know, the key to this year, I'm just looking at their first projected seven in the rotation. If those guys can all stay healthy, I think it's a decent core to go in and out, night in, night out in the Big Ten with. We know Harper and Baker are amazing leaders. Obviously, they'll be the leading scorers. And with Pikel and that unity in the locker room, I think it starts to work, and they can start to build a pretty good season with that nucleus. Obviously, the losses of Young, Johnson, and Mathis is gonna be hard to replace. But I do think just because there is a lot of mush at the rest of the Big Ten, one of these teams is gonna emerge and have a good year. And if I'm gonna put my chips on one side of any of these tables, I'm gonna go with Rutgers because I like Baker and Harper's foundation. I think there's a bad taste in their mouth after blowing that Houston game last year, and they want to get back to the tournament.
We don't discuss that around here.
They did kind of blow it. And it's kind of wild to think because Houston went all the way to the Final Four, and you can't help but wonder what Rutgers have made buzzer. The Final Four.
There's the buzzer.
No, I mean, they're I kind of agree with you about this top seven, even when you got like guys like McConnell and Mulcahy there. But the problem I have with Rutgers is he was going about 10 deep last year. That was one of the good things is it's so many interchangeable parts. Those number of parts are not there unless somebody else steps up. They've got a couple transfers coming in. I guess he's technically a freshman. He was there. He played like four games last year. Jaden Jones, fairly highly regarded recruit. But Tytel, beyond my Scarlet Knights, I think, is it time to talk about Indiana and the new head coach?
It is. I had the pleasure of interviewing Mike Woodson a month or two ago. Super nice guy and great track record. He won the 79 NIT at Indiana under some guy named Bob Knight. He was an assistant to Larry Brown on the Pistons in 04 when they won an NBA title. The guy has been around great coaches his whole life. So it's his first year. We'll see how he does. He's going to rely heavily, I would argue, maybe no other coach is going to rely on any one single player in the nation more than Mike Woodson is going to rely on Trace Jackson Davis. Amazing power forward. He's a junior. I think a strong contender for Big Ten Player of the Year. And I think that if I was defending Indiana, much like I was defending Illinois, there's only one guy to focus on. He's big. He's great. Send three guys at him and triple team him and hope for the best.
David, you think the Hoosiers could end up on the bubble?
Maybe, but I'm not counting on it. I just can't believe, like, donors got together and I guess boosters and paid Archie Miller over $10 million to leave.
Go away.
Yeah. I have not been offered that much to leave. I've been asked to leave. I've been thrown out of places. I've never been offered $10 million to go away. That is just a remark. And, I don't know. I think sometimes the expectations are a little unrealistic, but that's outside of the lines. Let's get back between the lines. Do I think they make the bubble? Probably not.
Yeah. Rocco, there are four teams we have not yet discussed in this conference. Do you think any of them could be a dark horse contender? Northwestern, Penn State, Nebraska, Minnesota?
Dark horse, sure. I won't say they're in the tournament yet. They have a ton to prove, and they're probably going to fall short. But there is some very interesting talent at Nebraska.
Really?
And I know Fred Hoiberg hasn't done much there. He has acquired some talent. But, you know, you look at Trey McGowan. He's a quality ACC player. I thought he was their best player when I saw Pitt in person 2 years ago. I know Alonzo Verge never passes the ball, so that's going to be a challenge. Tytel probably knows this. He just hoists everything. But if they can try to get the pieces to fit, Bryce McGowan's is the first five-star recruit in the history of Nebraska. That's Trey's brother. There's obviously some continuity between those two. You got Kobe Webster, who last year was one of the top transfers coming over from the Summit League. He's got a couple of years now in this environment. Another couple of transfers with Wilcher and Edwards. So there's depth. There's definitely enough talent. It's just a matter of getting the pieces to fit and getting them to buy into Hoiberg. And when you look at the non-conference schedule, you know, this is what a lot of the Big Ten's doing, by the way. I haven't commented on it yet. But there's just a plethora of gimme layup home games and maybe one road game in the Big Ten ACC Challenger or some other event, and then that's it. Like Purdue, Iowa, not even playing true road games. Like it hurts my heart knowing that there's so many other good major schools that would give anything to play these teams. And you look at these schedules and it makes you roll your eyes because they're gonna have gaudy records going into Big Ten play, and that might be enough for them to hang on for a bid. But anyway, just keep your eye on Nebraska. I think they're interesting.
I'm just shocked. You're making a case for a team that lost 20 games in a COVID shortened season last year and finished dead last.
Why they got rid of everybody.
Well, you know, I just don't see it. this program under Tim Miles would have
buzzer,
been great.
Buzzer, buzzer. But they,
I don't know. It's interesting you brought that up about the schedule, Rocco, because I would almost look at it the other way. Is the Big Ten giving themselves enough chances to build out enough quality out of conference? Because when all you do is go to the bakery, the committee's going to see that. And if they don't, we'll be sure and point that out to them.
Absolutely will.
Yeah.
John, I asked you about one new coach. How about another new coach? How about Penn State where Micah Shrewsbury takes over?
No, sir. I'm going to talk about Ben Johnson, the first-year coach of Minnesota.
Okay, let's talk about Minnesota then. Let's do it.
Nice. I do like. I hate first-year coaches in general. I do like guys who have been trained by other coaches.
What the first-year coaches ever do to you? Hate first-year
coaches. There's a chance. I'm just telling. And if he was a Canadian Olympic runner, I'd love him. But this Ben Johnson, his claim to fame is that he worked for both Dick and Tony Bennett at Washington State. Two coaches who I have much respect for. So if he learned half of what they taught him, I'm sure he'll be okay. They also have a ton of transfers, as does every team. Losing Marcus Carr is going to kill them because he was amazing last year. But they got EJ Stevens from LaSalle, Luke Lowy from William & Mary, Peyton Willis from like three other schools, Sean Sutherland from New Hampshire, Jameson Battle from GW. So I think it's going to take some time. And they have a bunch of guys who can shoot from the outside. I don't know if they have a point guard or a big man. Maybe they can make 15 threes a game and get a couple wins. But I believe in Ben Johnson.
Well, it's kind of like an expansion team. You got a new coach, all new players. I mean, when your top seven players go after the season, it's I think they're going to have a hard time avoiding the last place. But David, yeah. I did mention Penn State. You want to talk a little Penn State?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think there's a really good chance they could avoid last place.
Oh, okay. Rocco, is there anything to look for here, or is it just going to be a tough year for Shrewsbury?
I think Shrewsbury is a good hire. Like, he's definitely one of the best younger coaches out there that they could have gone for, and they're ready to just really recommit some level of interest into basketball there, which is awesome to see. I think he's going to do great long term. He's already doing wonderful things recruiting wise. He's got a few pieces to work with, four up transfers that were all from under the radar schools. Jalen Pickett's well known from Siena. Be interesting to see how some of that translates to Big Ten ball, but I mean, the big boys are going to probably have their way with this team. They might pull off a couple upsets at home, but besides that, I'm sure they'll finish strong enough to where we'll be excited about them next year.
John, I got to ask you about one last thing we have not yet discussed, featuring a player with, from what you've told me, has one of the best names in the conference. You know, the team that does return a lot from last season, which I tend to like, although this team went 9-15 with these players, that's Northwestern.
You can have Fats Russell. I want Boo Booey, baby. You know it. He's only a junior, so we get him for another year. The best player, I think, on the team is probably Booey, but might be Pete Nance, senior forward. His dad, Larry, played in the NBA forever. His brother, Larry Jr., is now in the NBA. Chris Collins, speaking of guys who – have fathers who were great players. Doug is his father. Sadly, I'm worried the best player on Northwestern is assistant coach Taylor Battle, who's an All-American 10 years ago and still remains the greatest scorer in school history.
Yeah. I guess at this point, that is all the teams, unless we missed somebody, but I don't think we did. But I'll just run through each of you here and have you tell me how many teams are going to who's going to win the regular season title? How many bids are going to get out of this conference? And any other thoughts you may have on the Big Ten? Rocco, why don't I start with you on that?
Okay, so I'll actually go with eight bids. I'll probably have to scale that back. All this is tentative until a couple of weeks from now. I did have Rutgers as one of the last teams in to the field. And then my top seven, I go Purdue, Michigan. I got Illinois third, as I said, Ohio State. And then, this might surprise you guys, I do have Indiana as a tentative seven seed right now. I just like a lot what Woodson's done since he's taken over. There's a great amount of talent. I think Xavier Johnson's the key. Will he be efficient or not? He did have actually a more efficient year at Pitt last year than I expected. And then the research, that was some good information. Michigan State, like I said, on the fence there, but I do have them in Maryland getting in. So there's your eight.
There's your eight. And any other thoughts about the Big Ten?
Yeah, in general, I remember doing this exercise last year, looking top to bottom, And you had, what, 10, 11, 12 teams that were just like, holy crap, these guys are like clearly top 40, top 45. I don't see that as much this year. Again, I do think a lot of these schedules, though, could put blinders on how they are, unless they get upset at home by, you know, somebody from the Summit League or something. But I do think Minnesota is going to be way worse than anybody was, even Nebraska the last 2 years. I think, you know, some of the other bottom teams are going to struggle. I think Iowa and Wisconsin are going to struggle. You know, here's a good question. If Wisconsin was in the Missouri Valley, where would you put them? I think I might even put them below Northern Iowa.
Iowa is good.
And they are good. But I mean, I'm saying for a Wisconsin team that's had continuity and consistent tournament appearances, it's an interesting thing to think about. But yeah, so I think the Big Ten, like David, your point was good about the schedules. It could backfire if enough of these teams go the wrong direction.
John.
Let's see here. As far as Rocco set the over under at 8, I'm taking the under with 7. I think Michigan, Illinois, Purdue, Ohio State are slam dunks to make it. I do believe in the Spartans. I've heard nothing but good stuff about this hotshot freshman, Max Christie. I think he's going to be very good for them. I think the Terps make it, even though they lost a couple of big guys, because I really think Wahab is amazing and might make the leap this year. As far as the 7th team, I see your point about Indiana. I'm not buying Wisconsin because they lost too much. Rutgers also lost a ton. I really think Iowa, it seems impossible you lose Luka Garza and are still okay, but Jordan Bohannon is a really special player. He's going to, like, set records that, like, as Chad said, it's repeating, like, he's going to set conference records in one of the best conferences in the country because he's going to end up playing, like, 175 games of college basketball, which is just insane. As far as a Big Ten final thought, like, I don't know. I'm a little worried that, like, Rutgers' best team is going to be, like, Steve Peichel, who won the 88 NIT, Carl Hobbs, who was a four-year starting point guard at UConn, and Brandon Knight, who's the career assist and steals leader in Pitt. I would love to see the players versus the coaches at a Rutgers scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see that because I want this Rutgers team to prove they can win and not lose this year. But I'll tell you where I'm at. I am at 7 teams. I think I'm right there with Titel. With Michigan is my champion here as well. But I like Michigan, Purdue, Ohio State, Illinois, Michigan State, and Maryland all in. The 7th team, it's an Indiana Rutgers thing, is half and half. I can see the argument for Indiana. I like, you know, I'm trying not to disappoint myself with it by picking Rutgers for my 7th. So I might go Indiana and have Rutgers sitting there at 8. David, any other, who are your picks here?
Okay. To win the league, I'm going with Purdue, but I really like Michigan as well. I like Ohio State behind those three. And I also like, I think Illinois is really good, and Maryland and Michigan State. I think all of those teams are in the tournament. I believe that, I don't think it's going to be more than 7, and I'm kind of go against the grain here and say that it might be as few as 6. I'm a little surprised. Rocco and Titel are not just bracketologists, but among the best in the world. So they could speak to this better than I could. And since they picked more to get in, maybe I'm wrong about something, but when you're looking at a body of work and a team is 500 in conference or right around that range or in the middle of their league, and they've struggled on the road, they've only won maybe 2 or 3 road games, and they were against teams in their conference that are pitiful because they didn't play any out of conference road games. In my experience, generally speaking, if you're in that range, you better have more on your resume than what you did in conference. And if you're not giving yourself those chances, which, as Rocco pointed out, a lot of these Big Ten teams aren't, there's just not going to be anything there. And if all you do is go to the bakery and there's no meat on your schedule, I really think, especially with how strong some of these under the radar teams this year, that they're not going to take a 500 Big Ten team that struggled on the road and did jack squat out of conference.
You got to remember, it is a 20 game. You are playing those extra conference games, which are as good, if not better, than some of the non-conference games you'd be playing.
They are, but like you still got to win them. You still got to go on the road and do something.
You can't penalize a team for playing its conference opponents if they're playing extra conference opponents.
Of course you can. If they didn't play any out of conference games.
I think you can. I guess what I'm saying is I think you can get in based on conference wins only. But you got to do win, you got to do that. You got to get the road wins and the quality wins at the conference.
Yeah, you do. And I think you can get in on conference wins only, but you better be more than four games above 500. Do a study how many teams that are not four games above 500 in their conference get picked that didn't do anything out of conference. Right. Teams get in with below 500 conference records, but they all did something out of conference.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I know that they win already. Kind of like to hear Rocco and Tytel's opinion on that because they are the bracketologists. But
yeah, David, I would agree with that latter point you made. I do think there's some examples recently where a team got in just with road wins within the conference. They did nothing out of conference, but they got it done in the conference. Like, you know, last year was not a good example because some teams didn't even play non-conference. Some played five games. It's going to be nice this year. Even like you look at Nebraska, silly example, but 11 total games, four versus Power Five, two away from home. So they lose those two, but they win the other two at home. They win the seven low to mid major games, and then they pick up a couple Big Ten road wins. You're looking at like a 23 and 8 team or whatever, 21-10 team with a good enough resume probably. And it's unfortunate because it didn't take a ton of hard work because the schedule is gifted to them, right? So,
John, did you want to comment also?
Just quickly, I mean, as Rocco said, if you're a 21-win team with a couple road wins, be it conference or non-conference play, everything else being equal, I think your resume is looking pretty good.
All right. I guess on that note, that wraps up our Big Ten preview show here. So on behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you check out the season preview tab up there. We've got all the preseason podcasts. We've got tons of interviews. We have a podcast we just recorded audio only last night with the incoming chairman of the selection committee, Tom Burnett. That was really a great interview. Great chance we had to speak to him. We've got interview up there also we did with David Warlock, who's from the NCAA. We'll try to get as much stuff up there as we can over the next couple of weeks. But on that note, I do want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.